1 John chapter 4 as we continue in our study of this book, this epistle. And John's encouragement and warning to the saints. We've been on the lookout for different passages about things that we know, and this is a good book for that, to assure our hearts about what we know. You know, salvation and rescue by the Lord is not a feeling. We are emotional beings, and certainly our feelings, our emotions will be touched by being saved and by the blessings of the Lord upon us. But it's not the feeling that saves. It's our Lord Jesus that saves. And in the end, our confidence, our rest, our assurance of that is resting in Him, our knowledge about Him, our knowledge about ourselves, our inability and His great ability, not our righteousness, but His righteousness, not our redemption that we can put together or try to put together, but His redemption that He has paid by His blood, by the sacrifice of Himself, by the pouring out of His soul for us. And so what we know, the truth is known, and that is what we stand in, the truth about our Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. And we receive that, we believe that, we trust that. We have no other rock or foundation other than our Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. And so John talks about and mentions about the things that are known. And so we're on the lookout for that. Love is also a great theme in the epistle of John and in all of his epistles. But this epistle here, also the second epistle, is that way. And then we're also looking for phrases that connect with his gospel, that connect with his writing in Revelation also, and the things that the Lord showed him and that he heard from the Lord Jesus that really set in him. And, you know, they are on his mind, and those are brought forth too. And so we're on the lookout for those things as we study this. We went through last time, through verses 7 through 14, embarking again upon love, how we are to love one another. God is love indeed. He is love, but He's not only love, okay? There are those that only want to claim the love side, and because they would only want to claim the love side, we don't need to forget that the Lord is love, okay? He is also judgment and justice and truth. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's pitiful. And He is wrathful against sin and sinners and the unrepentant and unbelieving. And so we need to believe the full counsel about the Lord. Love is manifested not that we love God, but that He loved us. And that love was manifested in verse number 9 of chapter 4 because He sent it by Him sending His only begotten Son. Oh, what love it is. Love of the Father to send the Son, love of the Son to be willing to come. No greater love has been shown. No greater love exists. Not that we love God, verse number 10, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the sacrifice, the mercy seat, that sacrificing body. That being the case, we ought to love one another like Christ has loved us. That's the standard, okay? And we need to seek to attain to that. We've not seen God with these physical eyes, but we've seen one another, His children. And in seeing His children and seeing a saved person, a child of God, I'm getting the closest that I can see the Lord in my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so for me to say, well, I don't love them, look out. That's bad. That's a bad place to be. But if we love one another, verse 12, God dwelleth in us and His love is perfected, matured in us as we go on. Hereby will we, so there's a point of knowledge in this chapter, verse number 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. So the indwelling of the Spirit, we know that we are his. And we have seen, verse 14, and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And so that's John 3:16 tells about that, doesn't it? And then 1 John 3:16 tells about the Lord having sent the Son and how we ought to love one another. So then, and then remember this phrase of the world, if we understand correctly, to the Jews, that means to them, the Gentiles. And we praise the Lord that not only salvation came unto the Jews, but to the Gentiles. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess. So to testify, to confess, to say this is the truth, that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And so the children of God are going to confess this. They're going to testify this. How are you saved? How can your sins be forgiven? How can you live forever? Only by Jesus Christ, who God sent. Brother Stephen referred to Peter's answer this morning in the book of Luke, if I remember correctly, about how Peter said that you're the Christ, the Son of God. He's the Messiah that was sent. That's that title of Christ. And not only that, you're God Almighty's Son that has come in the flesh. So, I mean, much testified there about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord's children will confess that very very thing, that Jesus, that's his earthly name, is the Son of God, and thereby God dwelleth in him and he in God. Because that's the message, mission, and work, the will, and the word of the Lord is that. In John 6, let's read a passage over here, a couple of verses. In John chapter 6, verse 68 and 69. John chapter 6, verse 68 and 69. And this is when many disciples went away, and what I referred to just earlier. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Because the Lord said, you guys going to go away too? Where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So Jesus asked, will you go away? Simon Peter answers this, said, who else can we go to? There's no one. To whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and aren't sure. So see, we know this. We believe this and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And so that's the testimony. That was when our brethren saw many of the disciples of the Lord go away, when the Lord there in John 6 dealt with the free lunch crowd that was following him around just to get something to eat, then the Lord challenges them and they said, oh, okay, well, how about you prove who you are by doing a miracle? He's already been doing miracles. Matter of fact, the miracle you need to work is to provide us another meal. You know, like Moses did. So you see that in that chapter, you see the transition of the Lord. He was compassionate before. Now he's going to get right down to the quick. He said, Moses didn't give your fathers that bread from heaven, but God Almighty did. The Father did. And you know what? He sent the true bread from heaven, that you might really have life. He's talking about himself. And so he took him to task. And back in 1 John 4, verse number 16, and we have known. So here's another verse, last verse in this chapter, that speaks about things that we know. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. John 3:16 again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you know what? I believe that. I don't believe that generally. I believe that specifically for this soul. Because I am a sinner in need of salvation, and Jesus Christ is the answer to my deficit, to my sin, my iniquity, the need that I have for my soul. He is that answer. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us, that he sent his Son. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And so we have this fellowship, don't we? We have this relationship with the Lord. Not the deity that the people march into. Kind of talked a little bit to someone after services this morning kind of about this. You know, this is man's thinking of religion and having a God. You have the deity that is somewhere, and then you march in before them and you worship them to keep them appeased. Then you load up and you go home and you pray that they do. Okay. That's not the relationship that we have with God. Our relationship is with him 24/7. When we lay down at night, or laid our heads down at night while we sleep, when we get up in the morning, when we go about our day, when we go to school, when we go to work, when we go about our activities around our home, when we live and we rear our children and we are around our neighbors and we live life and we meet with the church that we're a member of and we come in contact with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's all based, it's all founded, it all flows from the Lord who lives in us. And so we dwell in him, and we dwell in that love, and we dwell, and God dwells in us, and we dwell in him. As it says in verse number 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. All that we do, as it speaks to us in 1 Corinthians 13, if it's not rolled up in love, love with legs on it, charity, as it's described there, it is what? A big zero, big goose egg. Okay? And so the love of God manifested towards us, the love of the Savior manifested towards us, our love for him, as we'll see, is reinforced, and what that's all about, and how the order of that is, that we'll see here in a moment. But if there is no love, knowing doctrine does not save, does it? Now, we need to know some things that we might be saved, but knowing and regurgitating doctrine does not save. Religiosity does not save. Denominationalism does not save. Religion does not save. But the Lord is the one that saves. Then our Lord believes things, and we're to believe those things too. Now, everything in its right order, all of it rolled up in love. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, so it grows, it matures. It goes from being infantile unto more stronger, more robust, more manifested, right? Has your love for your Lord. We say that about marriage. I love Clarissa more today than I loved her before we were wed and when we were wed. Because we've got experience together. We've got a life together, our family together, our experiences for the Lord and with the Lord together, dedication together. We have all that together. I love her more today than I loved her when we started this trip together 30 some years ago. That's the way it is with the Lord. The same kind of thing goes with the Lord. It needs to be our relationship with the Lord grows. And as we learn more about him, as we experience him, as we have experience with him, do we not love him more? Does it not grow? I tell you what, if it's not growing, something is wrong. Something is wrong. We need to go to the Lord with it. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And kind of a tricky, to me, tricky worded a verse. Okay, but let's try to break it down and see what we have here. Herein is our love made perfect. Is talking about verse 16. Okay, it could be. And so that experience, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us, salvation, okay? God is love, and he that dwelleth in love. So there's experience, okay? There's going days, weeks, months, years down the road with the Lord, dwelling in love, dwelling with him. As the Lord says, abide in me. We're to live in him. Branches can't do anything on their, or vines can't do anything on their own. They must abide in the branch, right? And so that's that experience. Dwelleth, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God dwells in him. Herein is our love made perfect, by that living in our Lord, by experiencing, by giving forth that love based upon the Lord. Not what the world says love is, okay, but what the Lord says love is. What is the Lord's love? Well, I think in a nutshell, we can say that it's self-sacrificing love, isn't it? He gave of himself personally, not just went and got stuff, and we need stuff, and thank the Lord that he provides for us and provisionally, you know, he provides provisions for us, which we need to live. But the Lord gave himself to us. He gave his time, if you will, as a man. I mean, he became a man. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So now we've come forward, and as a message spoke out of Psalm 49 this morning, those that trust in this world and the riches of this world, they get down to the end of that and they find out they just die like everybody else. And all the riches stay behind for the heirs. And as they come before the Lord with their soul and their sins and all that, none of the wealth can be brought forth. Nobody can send it ahead to redeem them. And there they are with their eternal soul, their sins, and no redeemer. But how about the child of God? The child of God that has the instruction of the Lord from his word and heeds that, learns about the love of the Lord, abides, dwells in the Lord, is filled and seeks the Lord and desires to cultivate the relationship with the Lord. And the Lord blesses with a word from him and understanding through his scripture and his word. And this thing grows. We have life experiences that our Lord takes us and carries us through life and helps us and proves himself faithful as he always is. Herein is our love made perfect. Can we say ultimately that we may have boldness in the day of judgment? You know, think about the judgment seat of Christ for us. And if we would be asked the question, Jim, why are you here? You know, I've thought, well, I think one answer would be, Lord, you know. You've brought me here. You've saved me. You've brought me to this place. All the blessing, all the obedience that we would have, those things that we have would be found faithful in, those are because of the touch and the blessing of our Lord, how he's instructed us and he moved within us and with his spirit and he blessed us. We yielded to that. How all that's all rolled there together. All the disobedience, all the wickedness, all the willful sin as a child of God, that's all mine. The Lord didn't do that. But to come to the day of judgment with boldness, isn't that what it says? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. I tell you what, it's a good thing to be perfecting, to maturing the love. You've heard me say it. It's been some time since I said it. We need to look to live life, of course, with our Lord's help, because we're dragging this old man and this old flesh around. But we need to be living our lives that as we step over in death into eternity, that it may not be a big shock that we arrive to the land and place of righteousness, right? It being a child of God and wallowing around in sin and chasing after stuff I've been saved from and all that. And then, you don't want to be in this place where the Lord takes and snuffs out your life because you're a disgrace to him in this life. And then you go to the land of righteousness and glory where the Lord is. Big shock because you didn't grow up in the Lord. It shouldn't be that way. We need to be dwelling with him, dwelling in him, abiding in him, growing in him, seeking to be more like our Lord Jesus. and that in that day of judgment we would have boldness. I didn't write it. It says it is our Lord that has given us this here. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. It's connected to this passage we see over here in John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, chapter 3, 19, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Conviction. If our hearts condemn us, pardon me, we have a conscience that has been tempered and changed by the word of God and his truth, so that when we sin, we know it. It's terrible to sin against the Lord and not know it. Because see, this is speaking about a saved person. It's not speaking about someone unsaved. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And of course, in the first chapter, he tells us about our sins. When we know about our sins, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. If we're obeying, and there's not conviction about disobedience, our relationship is full and good and at ease with our Lord. For the child of God who goes off sinning, the relationship, if the relationship doesn't get hampered, something's wrong, okay? But that's the way it's going to be with the child of God. And so may our love in our Lord be made mature, that we might, again, step off into glory and it not be a big change. Now, listen, it's going to be a big change because we're going to be rid of this body. What a wondrous thing it will be for us to be rid of all this trash and junk of the mind. It will be a glorious thing. It'll be a wondrous thing. So I'm not belittling or denying that, but I'm saying I just want us to have a mindset about what and how we need to pursue. Put away sin, put on righteousness, and put on the love of our Lord in our lives and all of our conversation. Listen to this. Because as he is, so are we in this world. What's that talking about? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is. How is he? How is he right now? How is our Lord right now? Well, he's there at the right hand of the Father. He is, as Brother Stephen read this morning in Isaiah 53, and certainly it seems that way, the Lord Jesus, understand pride is not an attribute of the Lord. But the Lord Jesus is very pleased indeed with his accomplishment in bringing many sons to glory. The Father is well pleased with the Son. Listen, from the standpoint of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're both smiling. And they're both enjoying the outpouring of their love and their graciousness and mercy into sinners for the sake of their people. I mean, they are rejoicing in that. Okay? They have other things that they're doing. But as he is, so are we in this world. Does he love us? He sure does. And so we need to be loving him. As he is he perfect in love? So are we in this world. Well, I'm not perfect in love, but I need to be. As he is he faithful to the Father even yet today? He sure is. I need to be, don't I? You need to be. Because as he is, you know what? He is loved. The Lord Jesus is loved. See, everything that has to do with my performance is lacking. But I need to strive that it not be. But everything that has to do with the Lord Jesus and what he has done is not lacking at all. He's loving. He is loved. We are loved, and we need to be loving as Christ. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. In chapter 3, in the first few verses of chapter 3, the love that the Lord has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And now we are the sons of God, verse number 2. And we don't understand how it's going to be, how we're going to be. But we know that when we see the Lord, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And verse number 28 of the previous chapter, chapter 2, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We don't want to be ashamed when he comes, do we? We need to seek to be as he is. As he is. Brother Paul writes to Brother Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that's what needs to be, what we need to say of ourselves and strive for that, always seeking the Lord's help. Verse number 18, there is no fear in love. But perfect, mature love casteth out fear. If you and I have a fear comes upon us, we need to know that in that realm, in that area, we're not perfected in love. Because see, it's not that we don't have a sober outlook. You know, you get bad news about yourself or a loved one, it's natural for us to fear, okay? It's natural. But listen, what's our first reaction? Oh no, what will we do? Or is it, okay, Lord, you know what's going on. You know what we need. We need some healing. We need some help. We need some provision. And Lord, we're taking this and we lay this before you to work. Fear, oh, how is this going to progress? How is this going to be? And I'm not belittling those thoughts that we have, those feelings that we have, those times that we have. I mean, we're an up and down in this walk with our Lord and dealing with this flesh. We're an up and down kind of people. But here's where the child of God puts this of the love of the Lord into practice. Is, okay, this is evil news, as we talked about this morning, okay? Doesn't mean it's sin or wickedness is at hand, but this is bad news. What are we going to do? No, this is bad news, Lord. You know the beginning from the end. You know the help that we need. You know how to take and work this. Father, you know how to do the impossible. We look to you for it. We pray that you would help. Help them, help me. Help us, whatever the case is, whatever the case is. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, mature love, casteth out fear. Love, knowing the love of our Lord for us, and our love growing and maturing, our love for him, experience with him, it takes fear and it pushes fear away. Part of this is understanding about the power of the Lord and his ability. Part of this has to do with the will of God, that he knows what's best. Part of this has to do with being able and willing in the strength of the Lord and the love of our Lord to say, okay, this is not what I wanted for myself, but Lord, you know what you're doing to grow me up. We rest in him and his love, his care for us. Many times it's been in my life, oh no, I just don't want to do this, face this, or go here. But that's what the Lord used to get me to over here. See, perfected love says, okay, Lord, you know where you're taking me. You know the trip. You know the road that you're taking me on. You know the way that you're taking me on. I don't see it, but you do. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And that's interesting that the word is used cast out. It takes it and throws it up over the rail and throws it away, casteth it out. Because fear hath torment. And we can all testify to that, can't we? Fear has torment in the dead of the night, going to bed, early in morning, middle of the day. Fear is tormenting. Fear can eat up our time. You know, we have events in life. We talked about this a long time ago. We have points and events in life. And what is it that we have? We got all these points and events in life. Bad news, good news, trouble, something different deal now to deal with. And what do we have in between all these points? A whole bunch of time. A whole bunch of time to carry the burden. A whole bunch of time to think about how disastrous the disaster is going to be. I'm able to cook things up in my mind way beyond what would happen. Fear is tormenting. But perfect love, mature love, casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And that's what the Lord says. Romans 8, verses 35 through 39 are always a good thing to remember in troublesome times and evil times. We need, as the children of God, we need to remember this always. The apostle spoken about how if the Lord gave his son, will he hold up anything else? No. But he knows the path that we need to go, and he knows how he wants us to grow up. And he wraps up this chapter in chapter 8 of Romans, in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Answer that question. Who? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Can any of those separate us from the love of Christ, his love for us? How about bad times? As it is written, as an example, I think that's the interjection of this. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. What if it gets that bad? Can that separate us from the love of Christ? Nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. See, to reaffirm through his word, to have reaffirmed to us through his word, and by worship of him, and walking with him, and fellowshipping with him, his love for us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. You know, the angels, that also includes Satan. The future, the unknown of the future, unknown to us, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And of course, Jesus has to be included in that. Christ Jesus, our Lord, has to be included in that, because he is the epicenter, the climax of the manifestation of God's love for us. And we need to remember that. Always remember that. 1 Peter chapter 5 also is another passage. Let's read this. 1 Peter chapter 5. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Verse number 6 of 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Not rise up and say, no, I don't want this kind of thing. No, I don't want this evil news. No, I don't want I don't want to go through this. I don't want to have to cope with this or deal with this. No. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. As the Lord's children, we understand that His hand is upon us, don't we? Don't we pray that His hand would be upon us? Because that's the best place we can be, is with His hand upon us. Amen? That He may exalt you in due time. He knows how to bring the pressure, that He might grow us up and lift us up when He's ready, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Back in 1 John 4, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth not is made perfect in love, is not made perfect in love, mature in love. We need to ask Him to help us with that. And then verse number 19, here we have a clear, concise understanding about how it is. We love Him because He first loved us. So we are to love Him. This thing, this work of the Lord in us is to be filled with love, because His love has been extended towards us. And we are to love Him. But the order is that He loved us first. And now while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, for the ungodly. We love Him because He first loved us. In 2 Corinthians 5, it speaks about the love of Christ constraining us. And I think I've touched upon that passage here in this study. The love of Christ, His love for us certainly should constrain us. Why would we want to disappoint and disobey the one that has given so much for us? And then because He has loved us, our love for Him should constrain us and keep us away from things displeasing or things that are damaging to our relationship. We love Him because He first loved us. And then it continues on. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother. So then we come back to this. It's another touch upon what we've seen earlier in the chapter and in the book. If a man say, I love God, I love God. You've heard it. And hateth his brother. He's a liar. It is essential that we love one another. We must. Not, and it's not a feigned thing. It can't be faked. It must be genuine from the heart because of the Lord's touch upon us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And so, again, that is made even more clear than before. As we see in verse number 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. We've not seen God, but we have seen one another. And our love for our love from our Lord is manifested in our love one for another. And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God, so we love God because He first loved us. Here's a commandment. Wait a minute. We're in this church age. We don't have commandments. We're in this time of the Gentiles. The time of the commandments and the law is past. No. No, we've got commandments too. And this commandment have we from Him, from the Lord, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We love Him. And loving our brother, we're loving the Lord. Because we are in the family of the Lord, are we not? We're in His family. Siblings in Christ. A blood relationship, not from the blood, like we have blood kin in this life. Not a relationship like that, but one greater than that. A blood kinship in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our ancestral relationship in this life is what it is and is settled and is important to us. But when we go on to eternity, that won't change. That'll still be what it is. But the one, the relationship that's really going to count is the relationship that we have in Christ. That is eternal. And so may the Lord help us in these things, and that our love grow, the love that our Lord has for us, that we would know and learn more about that, and that our Lord would help us, that we take that and we would manifest it in our lives. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need this love of the Lord. You need salvation, forgiveness of your sins. And the Lord Jesus made a way that a sinner like you can be saved. Through the Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, through repentance of your sins before God and faith in the Lord Jesus and His death, burial, and resurrection for you. You need Him. We point you to Him. Receive Him, we pray.